very much. I'm Greta, a very grateful, compulsive overeater. And my story starts at the age of 4 when I was sexually abused. And I became a compulsive overeater by the age of 6. I was fat, terrified of men, and protected myself by having a barrier that I thought would not let men find me appealing. I would eat gallons of the sweet stuff, loaves of the white stuff, pounds of the salty fat stuff, and I would zone out and numb myself into oblivion. I was tortured verbally by a bully who lived in the apartment that I lived in. Words cut me. I enjoyed school academically, but I didn't get along with most of the students. Even though I was a good student, I would zone out. My father was a professional chef, and my mom is a great cook. Every time I got angry, my mom would put a plate of delicious food in front of me, and I never learned how to face my anger. For most of my life, my dad was on my case in regards to my weight. He would say, "How can you eat when you're full?" I used to, quote, reward myself with my alcoholic foods. And that is any kind of food that causes a craving, a mental or physical obsession. For me, I've learned that sugar, flour, junk food, and certain foods that can be healthy, but I would eat in huge amounts, I would just stay away from. And one of the things that I want to talk about is that I was, in 1999, I lost 100 pounds before OA. And that was by sheer willpower. But I gained it all back and more by eating a tiny piece of a trigger food. And in August of 1999, I came to OA, and I've been with my current sponsor ever since. And OA is not a diet club. You don't graduate. It's a lifestyle change. Diets don't work. They're a temporary fix. I ask myself, am I willing to go to any lengths to get what is promised in OA? The peace and serenity, freedom from obsession. I don't miss my alcoholic foods, and I wouldn't trade what I have now for a slice of this or a sliver of that. Another thing that I would like to mention is that we're all in the same boat. We're all compulsive overeaters. Whether we are long-timers or newcomers, we're all in the same boat. No one is better than or less than anyone else. I've learned to act as if I acted as if I was a happy person, and I became that person. I turned from a bitter pessimist to a happy optimist. In the height of my disease, I would steal other people's food, eat food off of other people's plates, go to the buffet table so often that I was told to stop coming. When I moved out of my dysfunctional home, I moved in with a bunch of college students, and on the first night that I came there, one of my roommates stole my food. I was furious, but I could not express it, so I stole everybody's food. Even though I tried to assert myself, this roommate would put my trigger foods out in the open. It was a very difficult time for me, but things turned out better when I moved into my current apartment. I want to say that part of the key to this program's success is doing the steps and having a higher power in your life. A higher power doesn't have to necessarily mean God. It could be anything that you want it to be. When I first came into the rooms and I heard people say that they don't eat sugar or white flour, I thought they were crazy. And I think that, part of the, in the For Today book, it says extreme remedies are very appropriate for extreme diseases. That's Hippocrates. Go to meetings, read the big book, get a sponsor, go to any lengths. All that, when will I have time for my life? Make time. Compulsive overeating is a killing disease. But I'm not that bad. No, not yet. But this illness is progressive. It gets worse, never better. Abstinence is a new life, not in theory, but in practice. It means following suggestions, listening to someone who knows more than I do about living abstinently. It means reading, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. If I want abstinence and a better life, I have come to the right place. For today, I've taken the first step. God help me to stay on this new path toward physical, mental, and spiritual recovery. I now, when I cook, I actually take the time to cook the food that I'm preparing, and I see that I am a good cook. And I just was so into the food, I just didn't take the time to, I just shoveled in the food. I just wanted to numb myself. I didn't want to feel anything. And in 2002, I went to a facility in Florida where they promised that you can lose weight and keep it off. And that was another diet plan. It didn't work. This is a program of transformation. I used to watch television 24/7, and I now, when I eat my food, I don't watch any TV. I thank God for the food that I'm about to eat. I am willing to text my sponsor my food on a daily basis. I'm willing to go to any lengths for my abstinence. And another thing is also that not to consider yourself a victim, but a survivor. And perseverance is another thing that is very helpful. When I was at my highest weight of 225 pounds, my doctor suggested that I get surgery. And I knew from the beginning that that was not a good option for me, because even if my stomach was smaller, I would still have that food would be on my mind all the time. And also self-will, as opposed to the higher power's will. Some people don't get the spirituality of the program, and they are basically white-knuckling it, and they're a slave to the scale. And I think that the spirituality of the program is the most important part of the program. And this is the easier, softer way. No diet can remedy someone who has a spiritual malady. I use the tools of the program. I use the phone. I use the sponsorship, the meetings. I sponsor. And although I've been in program 22 years, almost 22 years, I've been abstinent on a daily basis since January 12th of this year. And the key is to keep coming back. Don't ever leave this program, especially to the newcomers. Don't leave, even if you're binging your brains out. Stay. This is the, if someone like me who has such a compulsive behavior towards food, if I can recover on a daily basis, so can you. And I think another thing that's very important is humility. And the definition of humility is a modest view of one's own importance. We are all the same. There's no one better. There's no one worse. We're all in the same boat. We have a wonderful program in our path. God has put a wonderful program in our path. And I'm happy to say that I no longer am afraid of men. And when I released the 100 pounds back in 2005, and I did my step 4, I was able to let go of a lot of the resentments that had tormented me most of my life. So I think that this program is a wonderful program, and I don't have anything further to say.
Thank you for sharing your story with us, Greta.
Thank you.